الحمد لله، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، وأشهد أن نبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Today's topic will be about the sixth pillar of faith, and that is to believe in the predestination, al-qadr. Now, the author of this book, Sahih Muslim, have specialized a whole book for this important issue, which shows that the author means to emphasize this topic, and indeed it is very important to believe in the predestination, the qadr, because it is one of the articles of faith. And anyone who does not believe in the predestination, then he is not faithful, he is not a believer. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in his book, إِنَّا كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقْنَاهُ بِقَدَرٍ, that we have created everything according to a predestined measure, according to a predestined measure. So this verse and many other verses in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala show that it is a must on every believer to firmly believe that everything which happens has been predestined by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said that the disbelievers at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the disbelievers of the tribe of Quraysh came to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arguing with him this issue of qadr, predestination. In other words, they were denying it. They were denying that things are predestined by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this verse, يوم يسحبون في النار على وجوههم ذوقوا مس سقر إنا كل شيء خلقناه بقدر, that the day, meaning the day of judgment, where they will be pulled down on their faces in hellfire to tell them to taste the punishment of hellfire, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created everything according to a predestined measure. So in this hadith, it is very clear that the fate of those who do not believe in the predestination will be hellfire, just like those disbelievers of Quraysh have denied the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have predestined all things which happen. So upon their denial, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this verse, threatening them that they will be punished in hellfire for their denial of the predestination. One of the students of the companions, Tawus, says that I have met with the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All of them say that everything is according to a predestined measure. He said, I heard Abdullah ibn Umar, the son of Umar ibn Khattab, may Allah be pleased with them, say that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, everything is according to a predestined measure, even the disability of someone and his smartness or cleverness. In another narration, he said that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, everything is according to a predestined measure, even the cleverness and his disability. So in this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is emphasizing this clear fact that everything which happens is according to a predestined measure. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu narrates that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, or said, that the strong believer is better and more beloved to Allah, glory be to Him and Most High, from the weak believer, while there is good in both of them. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam added, saying, take care of that which benefits you, and seek support in Allah, and do not become lazy or disabled. And if something happens to you, then don't say, if I had done such and such, then there would be such and such. But say, this is the decree of Allah, and what Allah have willed, He has done. Because saying, if I had done such and such, will open the action of devil against you. This is the meaning of the hadith. So in this hadith, of course, we have explained previously, but to emphasize this topic of predestination, Imam Muslim have brought it again in this book. And in this hadith, it is very clear that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is asking us to seek support in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and at the same time to do what we can of means. Because he said, starting with ordering us to do the means, he said, do what benefits you, or take care of that which benefits you. And then he says, seek support in Allah and do not become disabled. And then he said, whatever happens to you, don't say, had I done such and such, but say, this is the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and what Allah willed, He has done. Because saying, had I done such and such, will open the gate for the devil's action. Now, in this hadith, one should understand clearly that when he does something wrong deliberately, then he should seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If someone sins or does anything wrong deliberately, then he should not say, well, this was decreed by Allah and I have done it according to the decree of Allah. This is not the way to apologize for your sins, or this is not the way to treat your sins. Whenever you do a sin, then you must realize that you have done something wrong against what Allah loves and against the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, you should seek forgiveness from Allah and you should repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if something wrong happens to you undeliberately, without you causing it, or without you causing it deliberately, something beyond your control, then you should say, this is the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and what He willed, He has done. Because in this case, when something happens to you which is beyond your control, or something wrong that you do undeliberately, then there is no use to be sorry about it. Of course, you as a Muslim, as a believer, you must take lesson from anything wrong that you do. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have said in the true hadith that the faithful is not bit from one hole twice. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam shows that the faithful does not fall into his mistake twice deliberately. So you should take lesson of your mistakes. This hadith does not mean that one does not take lesson of his mistakes and does not learn from his mistakes. This is against the teachings of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as I said, because he said that the believer does not get bit from one hole twice, which means that one has to learn from his mistakes. If he does something wrong, then he should learn from his mistake. But after learning from the mistake, then there is nothing to do beyond that. You cannot just be sorry after that. You should repent to Allah. You should seek His forgiveness if you have done something wrong deliberately. And if you fall into something wrong undeliberately, then you should take the lesson from this and learn from this, but you should not be sorry for something which is beyond your control. Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, another companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said that I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have decreed all matters concerning his creatures before creating the heavens and the earth by 50,000 years. He said, that means the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was upon the water. So in this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is emphasizing this very important fact that all things have been predestined 50,000 years before creating heavens and earth. Anything which occurs, anything which happens, have been predestined, written by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the preserved tablet that is mentioned in Quran. 50,000 years before creating heavens and earth, and the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above it, is upon the water. And the fact that the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is upon the water is something which has been since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have created the throne. The throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, is a great creature which no one can encompass. It is so big, so huge. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave an example for us just to take a rough measure of how big is the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said that the example of the kursi, which is the chair of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to his throne, is like the example of a small steel ring compared to a whole desert. And the example of all heavens and the earth combined together with respect to the chair, which is the kursi, is also like the example of a small ring compared to a whole desert. So this means that the example of all heavens and the earth compared to the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is much less than the ring compared to a whole desert. In this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam emphasizes that all things which happen are written by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, have been written by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the core of our faith in Qadr, to believe that all things which happen are according to a predestined measure, are according to the measure that has been written in the book 50,000 years before creating all heavens and the earth. Now, in this hadith, one should believe firmly in the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, the fact that things have been written 50,000 years before creating heavens and earth, this writing is according to Allah's knowledge. Of course, we know from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew everything since ever. This is one of his attributes, the most perfect and the most comprehensive knowledge, which means he knew all things in detail, all things concerning his actions and all things concerning his creatures' actions. He knew even the blink of an eye of me or you at this time or at any other time later. He knew when the leaf of a tree has dropped down from from the tree itself. He knew the whisper of someone to his friend, for example, or his wife. He knew everything since ever, all in all details, in complete details. Now, when we speak about the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we must be firm that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most knowledgeable about all things, that His knowledge is the most perfect and the most comprehensive. But this belief in the knowledge itself is not enough for us to be believing in the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to believe that He also willed all things which occur, and He has created us and our actions, and He is the creator of all things. So believing in all four things altogether, the knowledge of Allah, His writing, His will, and His creation, will make up our faith in Qadr. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله. القدر the predestination. We continue reading the hadith in Sahih Muslim in the special chapter or in the special book of Al-Qadr that he has put in his volume. Now, in this book of Al-Qadr, he has put 16 chapters regarding this important issue, which shows that this is a very important matter that the believers must firmly grasp. Now, all those issues are according to verses and hadiths of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He brings nothing from himself. All he brings is the topic of the chapter, and then he brings a verse and a hadith to show that this is the way we must believe, and that is according to the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For our faith will not be accepted if it is not according to the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and indeed all our actions will not be accepted if they are not according to the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in his book, بَلَا مَنْ أَسْلَمَ وَجْهَهُ لِلَّهِ وَهُوَ مُحْسِنٌ. He who makes his intention purely for the sake of Allah, and at the same time, his action is good, meaning his action is according to what Allah has ordered, and that is his book and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Today, he brought some hadiths regarding the Qadr. The first one is about Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. He said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Adam, meaning Prophet Adam, and Musa, Moses, peace be upon them, argued in the presence or while Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was hearing them. So Adam won the argument. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the argument went as such. Musa said to Adam, "You are Adam, who have been created by Allah's hands. Allah has created you by His hands. And He has ordered the angel to blow the soul in you. And He has ordered the angels to prostrate for you. And He has made your house His paradise. Then you have caused the people to come down to earth because of your sin." So Adam said to Musa, "You are Musa who was chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be His messenger, and who was spoken to by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly, and who was given the tablets which included guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He has given you a close position to Him. So in your tablets, with how much years did you find, with how long time did you find in those tablets before I was created that I will be disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?" In other words, Adam is telling Musa that it has been written in those tablets that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have predestined for Adam to disobey. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have written in the preserved tablet that Adam will disobey. Didn't you find this? He said, yes. He said, then do you blame me for something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have predestined for me before I have done it? This thing that was written for Adam alayhi salam was written 40 years before Adam was created. So this is another tablet. The first one, which we mentioned last time, was ordered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 50,000 years before creating heavens and earth. This is the first writing. And this is al-lawh al-mahfuz, the preserved tablet. Now, another writing is what is mentioned in this hadith, where Adam alayhi salam says that it has been written 40 years before I have been created. So this is another writing. Of course, this writing is according to the first writing. All other writings are according to the first writing. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Adam won the argument against Musa alayhi salam. Now, in this hadith, we must understand what Adam said and what Musa said. Because if we don't understand it in the right way, we will be misled. Now, in this hadith, Prophet Musa alayhi salam, who was very knowledgeable, he was inspired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is blaming Adam not for the sin, but for the result of the sin. And that is, Adam's descendants were taken down to earth. They were removed from paradise and they were taken down to the earth. Now this was the result of the sin. Now, so this was the thing that Musa blamed Adam for. And you must be very careful that Musa did not blame Adam for the sin itself. Why? Because Adam alayhi salam have already repented to Allah from his sin. And anyone who repents truly to Allah from his sin, then he cannot be blamed for it. Because there is no one who is most perfect. Everyone is subject to do something wrong. So Adam alayhi salam have done something wrong when he was in paradise, but then he repented to Allah and Allah accepted his repentance. This is according to Quran. Now, when Musa is blaming him, he is not blaming him for the sin. Therefore, we should not blame anyone for any sin which he has repented from. This is very important. Now, when Adam alayhi salam is speaking about the fact that this thing is already predestined, he means the result of his sin, the fact that the people who are the descendants of Adam were taken out of paradise and they were taken down to the earth, this result was predestined by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he was telling Musa, you should not blame me for this result, since it was predestined by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you know from the Torah, from the books that Allah have revealed to you, that this thing have been predestined for me and has been written that I will be sinning and I will be doing this and this. So in this hadith, it is very important to understand two things. The first, which we mentioned, is that you should not blame anyone for a sin that he already repented from and he sought Allah's forgiveness for. The second thing is that you should not use the predestination as an excuse for your sins. In other words, when you sin, you should be sorry about it and repent to Allah and not just say that this is something which is predestined by Allah and therefore there is no problem for me. This is wrong. This is against the belief of Islam. Therefore, one has to be very careful, because I know so many people nowadays who have this wrong faith, and this faith is against the faith of Islam. It might be the faith of some other religions, some wrong religions, but in Islam, when you make a sin, then you have to repent to Allah. You have to seek His forgiveness. You cannot use the fact that Allah has predestined all things to excuse yourself from doing the sin, or to excuse yourself for doing the sin. Also, in another hadith, one of the students of the companions said that Umran ibn Husayn, one of the companions, may Allah be pleased with him, told him, do you see what people do nowadays, and they strive their best in their actions? Is it something which has been decreed and written for them? Or is it something which is new, which has not been predestined? He said, no, this is something which has been predestined, something that has been written. Then Imran, the companion of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wanted to test his student. He told him, isn't this going to be injustice? So his student said, I became very irritable, and I became very fearful of this question. And I said, everything is according to the creation of Allah, and according to his ownership. He owns everything, and he is not asked of what he does, while we are asked of what we do. So he said, may Allah be merciful to you. I only wanted to know how clever you are. Because two men came to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they said, O Messenger of Allah, what about the actions of the people who do nowadays, and they strive in those actions? Is it something which has been predestined and pre-written, or is it something that is new and has not been predestined? He said, no, it is something which has been predestined and written. And it is this is in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where Allah says, وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا, meaning the soul that he has perfected, and he has implanted its piety and its unpiety in it. So this verse means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have already decreed for every soul its piety and its unpiety. So in this hadith, it is very clear that whatever one does is written by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has already been written by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, have been predestined. Now, the fact that the companion was asking his student, isn't this going to be injustice? The fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have written everything means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most knowledgeable, who knew everything since ever, he knew, for example, that this soul that he is going to create deserves to be guided to the truth, and deserves to be guided to righteousness and to do right things. And therefore, he has decreed for it what it deserves. And this is not injustice. To decree for the soul what it deserves is not injustice. This is total justice. And also, for the soul which he knew since ever that it does not deserve guidance. In other words, he knew since ever that this soul, upon receiving guidance, it will reject it, it will not accept it, it will not go by it. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have decreed for it the misguidance, then this is not injustice. It is not injustice to predestine misguidance for a soul which deserves misguidance. So this is the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most just, and he is not questioned of what he does because of this fact that he is the most just. And not only this, but also because all his predestinations, all his wills, all his orders, all his creation is according to his wisdom. In other words, he guided such and such person for a wisdom, for something that he loves. And he misguided such and such person for a wisdom, for something that he loves. In other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not questioned of what he does, because what he does is based on those two fundamental things, the most perfect justice and the most perfect wisdom. And all questions, no matter what they are, wind up to those two things, the justice and the wisdom. And the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most just, who does not do even an atom of injustice to anyone, and he is the most wise, who creates everything for a wisdom, and decrees everything for a wisdom, and guides everyone for a wisdom, guides whoever he wishes for a wisdom, and misguides whoever he wishes for a wisdom. This fact means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not questioned about his justice or his wisdom. And this is very important for every Muslim to realize. So now we have our faith in the Qadr consists of our faith in Allah's knowledge and in the fact that he has written everything in the tablet 50,000 years according to his knowledge, and in the fact that he willed all things, and the fact that he created us and all our actions. And then the two foundations of our faith in Qadr are to believe in Allah's most perfect justice and wisdom. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله الحمد لله وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن نبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله. Today we will also be continuing this very important issue, and that is our faith in the predestination, al-qadr, the divine decree by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We continue reading the hadith in Sahih Muslim regarding this issue. Ali radiallahu anhu, the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, said that we were in a funeral in the Baqi' of Gharqad, that is the place in Medina to bury the dead. Most of the companions are buried there. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam came to the graveyard, and he sat down and we sat down around him. He had a piece of stick in his hand. He was pointing it to the ground. Then he said, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, that there is no soul amongst you except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have already written its place in paradise or in hellfire. It has been already written whether it will be a happy soul or a miserable soul. So one man said, O Messenger of Allah, shouldn't we depend upon what is already written and therefore leave all actions, not act? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said no, and in another narration he said no. He said no, he who is already written to be amongst the people of happiness, then he will be guided to the action of the people of happiness. And he who is already written from the people of misery, he will be guided to the action of the people of misery. Then he said, you must act. You must act. And each one of you is going to be guided and led to the proper action. Those who will be amongst the happy people who are going to be in paradise, they will be guided and led to the action of the people of happiness. And those who are going to be amongst the people of misery, that is in hellfire, they will be guided and led to the action of the people of misery. Then he recited the verse in Quran which says, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَى وَأَمَّا مَنْ بَخِلَ وَاسْتَغْنَى وَكَذَّبَ بِالْحُسْنَى فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْعُسْرَى. He who believes and gives and becomes pious, then we will lead him to the nice determination, that is paradise. And he who becomes miser and he does not believe and he rejects, then we will guide him to the tough place, and that is hellfire. Now, in this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam makes it very clear that the fact that Allah have already predestined for us where we are going to be, either in paradise or in hellfire, does not mean that we should stop acting. Why? Because we don't know what has been predestined for us. I don't know whether I am in the group which will go to paradise or the group which will go to hellfire. I do my best to please Allah by having the right faith and by doing good, and if I am sincere in my actions and if I do things according to the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then I wish that I will be amongst the people of paradise. And similarly, if I don't have the wrong faith and I don't have the right actions, then I will be fearful for myself that I will be going to hellfire. And of course, we know from Quran and we know from the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he who dies with the wrong faith, then he is going to be totally deprived of paradise, and he is going to be amongst the people of hellfire, and he will be dwelling in hellfire forever. But he who dies with the right faith, then we have two groups. One group is the group which will go to heavens directly without punishment, and that is the group which will come with good actions more than bad actions. The other group, which might be punished before going eventually to paradise, is the group which comes with bad actions more than good actions. So, in this verse, the Prophet, in this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, upon reciting the verse in the Book of Allah, is making it clear that not only the position of everyone is already predestined, but also the actions which lead to those positions are predestined. In other words, if you are predestined to be in heavens, then you will be predestined also to act according to the action of those people who will go to heaven. And if you are predestined to go to hellfire, then your actions also which will lead to hellfire are predestined. In other words, when someone finds himself doing the actions of the people who will go to heavens, then this is a sign that he is going in the right direction. This is a sign that if he dies as such, and he does his actions sincerely for the sake of Allah, that he is indeed one of the people of the paradise. And also, if he is acting wrongly and doing things which will lead him to hellfire, then if he dies on this situation, then this is a great sign that he will be one of the people of hellfire. So this is very important for us to understand. And when we look at this issue, the fact that one is in heavens or hellfire, we should not only look at the result that someone is decreed to be in heaven and someone is decreed to be in hellfire. We should also look to the road to both results. The road or the way to heavens is the actions of the people of heavens. And the way to hellfire are the actions of the people of hellfire. So if you look only with one eye, or with you look only at the result and you disregard the way to the result, then you are not doing justice in your look. But you have to look at both the result and what leads to this result. Therefore, upon hearing this from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the companions understood more the importance of action, because there are some narrations which say that when the companions asked the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam this question, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came out to the companions with two books in his hands, one book in his right hand and one book in his left hand, he said, in this book there are the names of the people of heavens, and in this book there are the names of the people of hellfire. Then he threw those two books and he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already finished his decree with his creatures. So some people said, shouldn't we depend on what is already written in those two books? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no, you must act. And then he recited the verse that we mentioned. So in this hadith, when the companions heard this, they said, now we will act more. In other words, they understood that it is by action that they will go to the final result, either heavens or hellfire. Now, the fact that the actions are made to be the cause for either heavens or hellfire does not mean that those actions are the does not mean that heavens, for example, is the price, is the equal price for our actions, because no matter what we do, we will not be even paying anything of Allah's gratitude and bounty on us. Even if we worship Him day and night, we will not be paying the gratitude of one bounty, and that is the eye that He has given us. So how about the rest of the bounties, and how about the paradise, which is something beyond description? So all this paradise has been the reward by Allah's mercy and by Allah's favor and by Allah's grace, and not by our actions. But our actions are meant to be the causes and the reasons to go to paradise or hellfire. So one should not understand that our actions have no value. We cannot say this, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, when He spoke about paradise, He said, this paradise that you have been granted for your action. So our action have been made as the means to paradise, and our action are the means to hellfire also. So therefore, one has to be very careful about his actions, and to do them in the most perfect way as much as he can, and in the most sincere way as much you can. Because as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that a man would be acting such actions of the people of heavens, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make his final action to be an action of the people of hellfire, and therefore he will be taken to hellfire. And a man will be acting all along with actions of the people of hellfire, and then Allah will make his final action to be an action of the people of heavens, paradise, and he will be taken to paradise. Now, in this hadith, it is very clear that one has to be very careful about his intentions. When he does good actions, he should be doing those good actions for the sake of Allah alone. And if he is not doing this, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish him at the end of his life, and he will make him act something which is an action of the people of hellfire, and he will be taken to hellfire for that. So in this hadith also, one should not think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the most merciful, the most kind, the most just, that if you do your best all along to please Allah by doing the right thing and by being sincere, that at the end of your life he will make you do something bad and take you to hellfire. No, in this hadith it means that some people who do things which are apparently good actions, but they are not doing them for the sake of Allah. They are doing them for a worldly gain, for some praise to hear, for any worldly gain, but they are not doing them for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They want to deceive Allah, and Allah deceives them by making their final action that of the hellfire people, and that will take them to hellfire. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to lead us to the right path and to make our actions acceptable to him. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. This is a very important issue that we must understand, and in Sahih Muslim this issue is given a great importance because it's part of our faith in Allah, and it is one article of faith that if someone does not have, then he is not faithful, he is not a Muslim. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud رضي الله عنه said that the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم told us that one of you will be gathered in the womb of his mother for 40 days, then another 40 days, then another 40, then the angel will be sent down to him, and the angel will blow the soul in him, and the angel will be ordered with four things: to write down his provision, what will be provided for him in this life, to write down his destination, how long he will be living, to write down his actions, what kind of actions would he be doing, to write down his fate, whether he is going to be miserable amongst the people of hellfire or happy amongst the people of paradise. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that one of you will be acting with the action of the people of paradise until he is very close to it. Then the decree will precede, what has been already decreed for him will precede, and then he will act with the action of people of hellfire, and he will enter hellfire. And one of you would be acting with the actions of the people of hellfire until he is very close to it, and the decree will precede, and he will be acting with the action of the people of heavens, and he will enter heavens. Now, the last part of this hadith we explained last time very clearly. In the beginning of this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ is showing that the fetus in the womb, after 120 days, the angel will be sent down to blow the soul in it and to write down four things. Now, this writing by the angel is a special writing. It is different than the writing which is other than the writing which is in the preserved tablet, but this writing is according to what has already been written in the preserved tablet. The angel does not know what has been written in the preserved tablet, therefore he will be asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he is sent down to the womb of the mother. This angel will be asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what should I write for his provision, for his action, for his fate, and so on. So the fact that he's asking means that he does not know what has been decreed by Allah in the preserved tablet. So the angels and the prophets, no one knows what has been written in the preserved tablet except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And anyone who claims that anyone has the access to look into this preserved tablet and see what has been written, then he is completely lying, and he is saying something which is which has no basis at all in the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I say this because there are some deviated groups who claim those things, and this claim is completely false and it's against our faith. So this is another kind of writing. We mentioned the first writing, which is in the preserved tablet, which is 50,000 years before creating heavens and earth. And the other writing which we mentioned, when Adam was arguing with Musa and he said, it is written 40 years before I was created, meaning before Adam alayhi salam was created. And now this is the third writing, that is when the angel is sent down to the womb of the mother. So the book which the angel writes in does not have everything which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have written. Therefore, this angel will be asking. And this also explains other things. This explains that when someone, for example, makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he calls upon Allah to, for example, to relieve him from such and such evil, or to protect him from such and such thing, that the angel is ordered to, for example, to write down for him that he will be protected from this evil. Now, the angel does not know this already. He is ordered right then to write this down. But it is something which is already written in the preserved tablet. Also, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that it has been predetermined for the son of Adam, for all of us, his portion of fornication. He has no way out of it. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explains how this happens. He says, the eyes fornicate, and their fornication is to look, and the ears fornicate, and their fornication is to hear, and the tongue fornicates, and its fornication is to speak, and the hand fornicates, and its fornication is to touch, and the foot or the leg fornicates, and its fornication is to walk to something which leads to the actual fornication, and the heart wishes and desires, and the private part approves all that or denies it. Now, in this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that to look at something which is unlawful, to look at a woman who is not your wife, for example, to look at her with desire in you, this is fornication. This is fornication, although it is not an actual fornication or an actual adultery, but because it leads to the actual fornication, it is called fornication. It is of a less degree, but because it leads to the final result, then it is called by its name. Similarly, when you hear something which arouses your arouses you to commit fornication, then hearing that thing is also named fornication because it leads to the actual fornication. To listen to some song which has words which tempt you to do something wrong, to listen to some music or something which will arouse you, this is called fornication, and you are hearing something, and this hearing which will lead to something bad is called by that name. Similarly, the tongue. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that the tongue fornicates by talking nastily, talking, saying those words which might lead to the actual fornication. And then the hand fornicates when it touches. So when you touch something which is unlawful, you touch a woman who is unlawful for you, she is not your wife, and you touch her with the desire in you for her, then that is all. This touch is forbidden. This is called fornication. And also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a true hadith that one of you, if one of you is bit by a needle in his head, in the middle of his head, that is easier or that is better for him than to touch a woman who is not lawful for him, meaning a woman who is not his wife. And also their leg fornicates by going to the direction of the actual fornication, and the heart thinks of the same thing. So all this is approved or disapproved by the private part. So in this hadith, we find that our actions have been already predestined by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But again, we go back to the fact that we are ordered to do only that which is right and which pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we are thinking to do something bad, we have the ability to stop from doing this, and therefore we should fear Allah and stop doing bad, because no one can deny the fact that he has the ability to do or not to do. And anyone who denies this, he is denying something which is openly clear. For example, if he denies this, then let him deny the fact that he has to go to work, for example, to earn some money. If he is sitting at home and he doesn't want to work, then he will not earn any money. If he wants a child, then he has to do certain things. If he wants to succeed in an exam, then he has to do certain things. If he does not do all those things and he says, well, I will succeed if it is written for me to succeed, or I will get the money if it is written for me to get the money, then he is acting against the faith of Islam and against the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And similarly, when it comes to the success in the hereafter, you will succeed in the hereafter if you act right now. But if you don't act and you don't do anything, then, and you say, if I have been decreed to succeed, I will go to heavens, this is not right. This is against the faith of Islam. Similarly, when one does something wrong, before doing something wrong, he must stop due to his fear from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and because he is able to stop. If he becomes weak and if he does something wrong, then he should be sorry about it and repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he should not continue in that disgraceful situation. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said that all the hearts of the son of Adam are between two fingers of the fingers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like one heart. He switches this heart as he wills. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O Allah, you are the one who switches the hearts. Switch our hearts towards obeying you. So this is a dua that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us. Allahumma musarrif al-qulub, sarrif qulubana ala ta'atik. O Allah, you are the one who switches the hearts. So switch our hearts towards obeying you. And this is very important for us to know, that our hearts are subject to be switched so much. As a matter of fact, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a true hadith that the hearts switch so much as the boiling water in the pot. You can look at the boiling water and you can see how many times the water turns. This is how one's heart might turn. It might turn so quickly from one state to another. Therefore, we must ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make our hearts constant on faith, constant on righteousness, and to switch our hearts towards his obedience and not towards his disobedience. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه. وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم والسلام عليكم.